Let's hear now our morning scripture.
From the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, I'm working on it. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Women were the first to know. In all four Gospels, it is women followers of Jesus who were last at the cross and first at the tomb. They were present with him in his dying. They did not run away from his pain and suffering. And they were up before dawn after the Sabbath to bring spices to anoint his body. Early in the morning, while it was still dark. Commentator Debbie Thomas writes that Easter began in darkness. It began with fear, bewilderment, pain, and a profound loss of certainty. Though the past 2,000 years have honed and codified our Easter acclamations, what we know from the Gospels is that the original disciples stumbled around in the half-light of that third day after Jesus' crucifixion, confused and afraid. The Easter stories begin with women going to grieve, to anoint his body, to express their love and sorrow in the only ways they knew. The other Gospels name several women. John's Gospel names only Mary Magdalene. For John, individual, personal experiences of Jesus are always the focus. In John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene is named as one of the women at the cross. Luke tells us that Mary Magdalene had been healed by Jesus of 7 unclean spirits, and that she was one of the women who gave money to help provide for Jesus and the 12 disciples. Mary Magdalene was not the Mary who anointed Jesus' feet. That was Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. And there is absolutely no reason to believe that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, despite the stories that have been spread over the last 2,000 years. Apparently, Pope Gregory in the 16th century preached a sermon which is largely to blame for some of these misconceptions. It is interesting to notice that Mary Magdalene is not defined or described in relationship to any other man. She's not somebody's mother, somebody's sister, somebody's wife. She's Mary, one of his followers, a devoted disciple. And on that Easter morning in the bleak, cold dawn, she went to his tomb to grieve, only to find the stone had been rolled away and his body was missing. So she ran to tell Simon Peter and the disciple Jesus loved. We take that to mean the author, the disciple John. And then there's this funny business here, isn't there? If you look at it, about who got there first. They both start running back to the tomb, and you know, John got ahead, but then when they got there, Peter looked in first. I mean, I don't know what all that's about, because it seems to me the only first that matters in this story is Mary's first, which is what comes next. The two disciples, the men who reach the tomb, go in, they see, and they believe. But what is it that they believe? Because it makes clear that they did not yet understand about the resurrection. So I guess what they believed was the body was missing. They believed what Mary had told them. And then they go back to the others, back to hiding, back to grieve, afraid. But Mary stayed because she needed to be there, to try to absorb what had happened, to feel all her emotions, and she longed to see his body one last time. But when she looked inside the tomb, what she saw were two angels dressed in white who asked her why she was crying. And then Jesus appeared behind her, also saying, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Mary, believing him to be the gardener, begged to know where they had taken the body. She wanted his physical body. Even if he was dead, she wanted to touch him, to anoint him, to find some way to say a last goodbye. New Testament scholar Jamie Clark Soules invites us to hear the layers of meaning in this moment, because she says Jesus is himself, but he is also the gardener. As God was the gardener in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve spoke to God face to face. Because she says here in resurrection, paradise is restored. The relationship with God is redeemed. Communion is possible again in that intimate way that Adam and Eve knew it in the garden. So some claim this day as the first day of creation returned, and others name Easter as the 8th day of creation, a new beginning in which we are all called to be co-creators with God in the world. Here in this resurrection, Jesus is revealed fully as God's Son, the Word made flesh, and we who believe, John's word, which really means more who trust. We who trust in him become one with him and live out of his life, his power, his love. But Mary didn't recognize him until Jesus spoke her name, Mary. It was a moment of recognition, of connection. He spoke to her and called her by name, and she knew who he was. He was her teacher, her beloved rabbi. He was her Lord. And she reached out to touch him, to hug him, to hold on to him. Of course, she wanted what had been before, but he said, "No, you can't hold on to me now. I haven't ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and tell them I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He was leading them into the fullness of the new relationship. The bond between his followers and his God was now fully realized. The God that he knew so intimately and closely was now and is now for us intimately present for all of us who love and trust in him. So he gave Mary a mission: go, tell my brothers. She became the apostle to the apostles. The Orthodox Church has always revered her as that, the apostle to the apostles, the first, the one to know and tell for the first time the news of resurrection. She ran to the disciples and said, "I have seen the Lord." His disciples, all who had believed in him and followed him, all of them who had had their lives and faith come crashing down around them on Friday, now they were confronted with this astonishing claim, this impossible possibility. Mary said she had seen him, that he was alive, that she had spoken with him. In that day when no woman was considered a reliable witness for anything, this woman became the witness, proclaiming to them the good news. How would they respond? Well, the gospel lets us know they really didn't believe her. They stayed in that room, hiding out the rest of that day, and Jesus has to show up to them before they will believe. If you continue reading in John chapter 20, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. Shalom." And after he said this, he showed them his hands, he showed them his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Those other disciples got their own personal encounters with the risen Christ. It's interesting to realize that the resurrection appearances were all private encounters. Jesus made no attempt to show himself publicly or to appear to anyone who had not already known and trusted in him. His focus was on his followers. He came to them to be sure that they understood, to be sure that they could believe and trust that he was real, that he was alive. He was no ghost. He showed them his hands and his side. In his resurrection, Jesus carried with him the marks of his suffering and his death. He was alive, but in a whole new way, and he was showing them the new reality, the fulfillment of all that he had taught them and shown them in his life. He was leading them to resurrection faith. He was alive forever, but he would no longer be physically present, no longer tied down to one place and time. They couldn't hold on to his body, no longer rely on his being with them to see and hear and touch. They couldn't continue to focus on Jesus of Nazareth, the man they knew. They had to move beyond that, move to the direct personal relationship with the fullness of God shown them in the risen Christ. The Christ who is everywhere, who is always available, always present across space and time. This risen Christ is the one who is present still here with us, wherever we are. The Christ who gives us peace. The Christ who blesses us and sends us forth in the power of his Spirit and his love. In John's first letter, we read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with God the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ, and we write this to make our joy complete." We are all called and invited by their testimony, by the words of the New Testament, and by the lives they lived and generations have lived since. We're called. These have seen the Lord, and they invite us to see him too, to trust in him, to trust our lives to him, because he died and was raised, his life for us and in us. And we are now the resurrected body of Christ. We are his presence in the world. This is our joy. This is our mission. This is the day, a day of resurrection. And so we rejoice, we are glad, we are grateful. Death could not hold him, and it cannot hold us. We can let go of our fears and our worries. We can forgive and let go of old hurts because of his forgiveness and love. We can live in the new relationship, full, intimate communion with God, the Creator Gardener. Relationship with the resurrected Jesus, the universal Christ who is everywhere in all of time. Relationship with the Holy Spirit, God's life and love breathed into us. We can trust and live and love fully, completely, abundantly. We have been raised with him. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.